This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Thursday's top news.
The yeas are 68 and the nays are 31. The nomination of Sonia Sotomayor of New York to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States is confirmed.
That was Minnesota Senator Al Franken officially announcing the final vote in the Senate, 68 in favor, 31 opposed. To the nomination of Sonia Sotomayor, she will now be sworn in soon and officially replace David Souter on the U.S. Supreme Court, Souter announcing his resignation earlier this year. And, of course, Sotomayor was appointed and nominated by President Obama to fill that vacancy. The official court session begins in October, but the nine justices will be meeting as soon as September to decide some of the cases they'll be hearing in the upcoming months. President Obama, shortly after that final vote, obviously very pleased with the outcome.
The Senate has affirmed that Judge Sotomayor has the intellect, the temperament, the history, the integrity, and the independence of mind to ably serve on our nation's highest court.
All votes against Sotomayor came from Republicans, 31 in total, 68 in favor, as we mentioned. Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts, who is battling a brain tumor, was the lone senator not in attendance. That means that nine Republican senators crossed over and voted in favor of the Sotomayor nomination. Plenty of vigorous debate leading right up to that final vote, including Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy of Vermont, who says the Sotomayor record is clear and that should lead to confirmation.
The many independent studies that have closely examined Judge Sotomayor's record have concluded that it's a record of applying the law, not of bias.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says Sotomayor is not only a good jurist, but will be a model for all Hispanics.
This is truly historic for our entire nation, but especially for the young Latinos in this country who will see in Judge Sotomayor concrete evidence of the heights to which they can legitimately aspire.
Both New York senators enthusiastically voted for their native daughter, Sonia Sotomayor, including longtime Senator Chuck Schumer, who says that the nominee is an experienced and pragmatic jurist.
It's time that we confirm a moderate nominee to the Supreme Court who will pull it back into the mainstream and away from the extreme.
On the Republican side of the aisle, while there were nine who voted in favor of the nomination, plenty of conservatives lined up against it, including the top Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Jeff Sessions of Alabama.
I think we need to get our minds straight. Judges should see their role as a limited role, and they should not seek to impose their policy values on the country.
Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell says there should be a simple test for any judicial nominee. He says that everyone deserves equal protection under the law, and it's the most fundamental test for any judge, a test, he says, Sotomayor fails.
And all the more so for those who would sit on our nation's highest court, where a judge's impulses and preferences are not subject to review. Because I'm not convinced that Judge Sotomayor would keep this commitment, I cannot support her nomination.
Another Republican speaking out is Utah Senator Orrin Hatch, a former chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He says the nominee's impartiality led him to a no vote as well.
I am very, very concerned about this nomination. I feel very badly that I have to vote negatively. It's not what I wanted to do when this process started, but I believe that I'm doing the honorable and right thing.
And here's the statement from Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele after the official vote, saying, quote, Judge Sotomayor will become the Supreme Court's first Hispanic justice when the court convenes in October, a historic milestone in our history to be sure. He goes on to say, but many Americans are still uncertain about her legal views, especially regarding the Second Amendment. The president nominated Judge Sotomayor because she shared his belief in judicial empathy. Many have questioned how such a justice would decide cases that come before the Supreme Court. Now we will find out. And the American people will be able to decide if that is the standard they want in future Supreme Court nominees. Again, Sotomayor confirmed by an easy vote of 68 to 31. Only 51 votes were necessary for confirmation. Elsewhere today, the White House bracing for more bad economic news when July's job report comes out Friday morning. Presidential Press Secretary Robert Gibbs predicting another uptick in the unemployment rate.
The president believes this will creep up and soon hit and exceed 10.
But in the long term, Gibbs says he and the president and the entire Obama administration are confident that their policies are turning our nation's economy in the right direction.
We are obviously working to do all that we can to create growth, to lay the foundation for long-term job creation in order to see jobs created and the unemployment rate come down.
The debate over the Obama stimulus plan's effectiveness continues, with President Obama in recent days saying it's responsible for the improvement in GDP numbers from the first quarter of 2009 to the second. Many Republicans and other opponents of the president's stimulus plan say that's simply not the case, and the fact that the president's plan is doing nothing in a positive way to help our economy may actually be slowing any sort of recovery. In other news, with a projected debut in 2011, a new Buick plug-in hybrid is expected to be the first commercially available plug-in hybrid SUV produced by a major automaker. According to General Motors Vice Chairman of Product Development Tom Stevens, the Buick plug-in hybrid has the potential to achieve twice the fuel economy of comparably sized SUVs on short trips. He says LG Chem, the company that will supply battery cells for the GM Volt, will also supply the lithium-ion cells for the new plug-in. Back to the White House now, but changing the issue to health care, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says there's a lot of misinformation being spread about health care reform. He says that as poll numbers show, Americans increasingly against the big government-style approach being proposed by the Obama administration and Democratic leaders in Congress. In his Thursday news briefing, Gibbs argued that some of the misinformation is being spread purposefully by conservative activists.
We ask people if they have questions about health care reform and about what they're hearing about its effects on them to let us know, and we'd provide them information to show that that wasn't true.
That is Gibbs' response to outrage on the conservative side of the aisle about Linda Douglas, the president's health care spokesperson, saying that there's so much misinformation that they want health care reform supporters, or at least supporters of the president's plan, to forward emails that they get critical of the Obama plan. Many Republicans have said that is the equivalent of creating an enemies list and basically trying to round up those who are against the president's plan so that they can be demonized. The White House saying they simply want to correct misinformation. Gibbs says they're trying to get the truth out there.
We hope to provide people with a full and accurate picture, not something that only the word's opponents might want to see.
In other news, the first vaccines against the new swine flu strain should be approved and ready for use in some countries starting in September. That's the word from the World Health Organization's Director of Vaccine Research, who added vaccine yields have improved following early difficulties. WHO officials declared this new swine flu virus a pandemic in June and estimate it may affect as many as 2 billion people around the world. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano predicted this week the pandemic may cause about 70,000 deaths in the U.S. and as many as 2 million deaths worldwide. President Obama will get together with former President Bill Clinton soon to talk about Clinton's trek to North Korea earlier this week and his successful procuring of those two U.S. reporters who had been held for months for allegedly crossing the North Korean border from China. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says the two men have spoken by phone already about Clinton's trip that ended in success.
Members of the NSC briefed former President Clinton prior to his trip. There has been and will continue to be a formal debriefing process now on the back end of that trip.
When they meet in person, Obama is expected to press Clinton privately about his impressions of North Korean leader Kim Jong-il. But Gibbs says, for the most part, this was just a humanitarian trip, and the Obama policy towards North Korea doesn't change at all.
It's nuclear policy. It's provocative international actions. And I think our policy to ensure that UN Security Council regulations are implemented.
And today is the 64th anniversary of the U.S. atomic bomb being dropped on Hiroshima, Japan. There are many who are gathering in Hiroshima today, including the mayor of that city, who wants a nuke-free world by the year 2020. However, most Americans believe that bombing Hiroshima was the right thing to do and the quickest way to end the war with the fewest casualties possible, even though nearly 200,000 people died either instantly or in the immediate aftermath. Most military historians believe that an island-to-island campaign would have killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people. In a poll recently conducted, 61% of Americans believe the atomic bombings on Japan were the right thing to do. There is a split, though, between men and women and Republicans and Democrats, with more men and Republicans thinking it's the right thing to do. Women and Democrats are about split 50-50 on that decision. That's a look at Thursday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.